everybody. Welcome to Money and Change. And boy, we've got some strange stuff going on here. And I'll tell you what, we've got some strange stuff. And I'll tell you, I don't know what's going on. We had some problems last week, and I am not sure what is going on with the camera or anything else. So we're just going to have to work through it, okay? And with that, welcome to Money and Change. And it is now January 12th. Wow, can you believe that? January 12th, and here we are. Something else. I'll tell you what. I don't know what's going on with our camera setup. And I guess we're going to have a meeting about it tomorrow to try to get things settled. Because I'll tell you what, it's driving me crazy. Must have been an update that we weren't sure of. Well, anyhow, guys, enough of me. Let's get on with the show because we're running a little bit late. And, you know, we have a lot of different things going on, and I've got some good things to present. And I'll tell you what, get ready for your insurance rates to go up. That's going to happen. Everything that I'm seeing right now is insurance rates are going to go up. And if you're in California, you might as well forget about fire insurance. That's for sure. Anyhow, guys, let's see if I can get to the screen here and put some things up about, gee whiz, about us. And of course, you know, we always have to give out a big shout out to Trim Radio Network. I guess nothing is working. What's going on here? I'm trying to do this, and the screen's not even sharing. Let's see. This is not good, guys. What is going on? My goodness. I can't even get stuff up on the screen. I have no idea what's going on. We're going to try this one more time. Let me log back in and we'll see what we can get going here. Hang on just a second. What in the Sam Hill? Wow, now I'm getting a lot of feedback. What in the world is going on here? Okay. Guys, this is not good. I'm gonna try something. Okay, let's see if that still gets feedback. Offsides. Yeah, it looks like. I don't know.
Hi, Stu.
Hi, Michael.
You have a lot of reverb going on because you are in the studio two times.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, it's. You're not going to hear yourself too well, so I thought I better get on here and let you know.
And I signed out both times. Now there I am on camera.
Yeah, you're on camera on this one, but on the other one, you're still there. There you are again. Yeah, so you need to close one, buddy.
Well, let me find out what's going on here. Hang on a second. Did that do it?
Nope. No. One of you has got to close and you can kind of pick it back on up where you were.
All right. I'm only showing one.
Nope. There's two of you.
I didn't know I had an evil twin.
You do. He's in there. He's causing reverb.
Try that one.
That one's good. Now just turn your camera on.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Now this one, the camera is on, but it's not showing. Let's see if I can start. There we go.
Yep. Give it a second here.
Without the green screen.
Yeah, it might be from your USB connection. Just unplug it, plug it back in, and it'll start working.
Well,
sometimes it does that.
And I have to trace it because I don't know where it is. I've got so many different things plugged in. I have no idea. Well.
Hi, Steve Volk here at the Shelby American.
There we go. Yeah, it's in your camera. So if you unplug the camera and plug it back in, that should fix the problem for you.
All right, let's see something. Now I have to trace wires. Because it goes everywhere.
Well, guys, I promise you, Stu will be right here back with you in 1 second. We're just figuring this out with him real quick, but I figured that was better than the reverb.
Anything's better than reverb.
All right, well, hopefully you'll plug this in and we'll get this fixed.
Steve Volk here at the Shelby American Collection.
What is this? Run on reels. There we go. And I hope everyone is having a good night. Look, there he is, folks.
Yeah, but I'm not on my world.
Yes, you are. All right. Well, you're live and you're.
It's sunny. It's money and change.
Well, money and change. And there you go. All right. I'm going to leave you be now.
Thank you much.
All right.
Boy, what a night. Woo. Well, looks like we go with the money and change banner, guys. And for the life of me, I don't know how I got signed in twice. I have no idea. Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Let's see here. Let's see what I can do here. Let's try the unvirtual background and see if that works. Not really. Okay, well, sorry for all that mess. That really bugs the heck out of me. Thank goodness for Michael watching. I couldn't figure out why it was coming in twice. I don't know how I got on the second page with StreamYard. Well, anyhow, let's just skip ahead. You know, they got all the fires out there in California. And the insurance rates are going to go up because the fire insurance, from what I heard, some companies canceled before the fire. That sounds a little bit strange, doesn't it? Like they knew in advance there was going to be a fire. I'm not saying that they possibly knew. It kind of appears that way, doesn't it? Insurance companies can cancel basically for no reason. Okay, so you're paying money to do things. And you better check your insurance policies. Okay. I've never had a claim on my house or my car, and that's a good thing. And I keep paying into it because if it does burn down, then we got a problem. Okay. And they could cancel. They could come in and they would say, well, we're going to pay for everything to get everything done, but then we're going to cancel your rate. Why? Oh, you had an accident. Well, what did you do with all my money when I gave it to you? Okay. Another thing, Pacific Palisades, they had a reservoir that was totally empty. They said it was going to undergo repairs. I don't know how many million gallons were in that reservoir, but guess what? There was a problem. It's empty. So they couldn't get water to the fire. That's not good. It's amazing what you run into. Just a lot of coincidences. Coincidences. Or as somebody that I used to know that was a broadcaster said, coinky dinks. Okay. That people just weren't having their insurance covered. They paid into it for years. And all of a sudden the company says, oh, we can't afford to do you. The risk is too high. I got a problem with that. I don't know about you. Okay. And let's see here what else we can go. Mandatory evacuation orders in California. Let's see if I can get that. Oh, with everything else going wrong, let's see if I can get this going. Now let's just go ahead and skip it. There's a lot of mandatory problems. Now, there was one thing that was losses in the billions. And I do want to try to play this one for you because this kind of presents everything that goes on with insurance. Let's see what we get here. There we are. Listen to this.
Acknowledging this is people's homes, people's lives, but you know, my job is to look at it from this economic insurance perspective. We ran a scenario analysis last night, this morning, with a low end on the insured losses of about $4 billion, higher end over 10, maybe, you know, could be 13, could be even higher, really, depending. What caught me off guard was the amount of structures destroyed so quickly. So the reports are coming out that there was like 1,000 structures destroyed with zero containment of the fire. That's, historically speaking, that's right. You know, like half of a major event.
Already. Were they insured?
I mean, I don't know exactly, you know, but right. And we just get structures, right? And that was probably mostly homes. Most of the homes are going to have some kind of insurance. It's not necessarily like a flood hurricane situation where the coverage is iffy. You know, it is generally fire as a covered peril.
Your tendency is to believe that Paris Hilton's home was insured.
Yeah, I don't know about her specifically, I mean, one thing I would say is, so these mega high-end homes, you know, Chubb is a name that does a lot of business there. I've heard anecdotal cases where the insurance is so expensive that you might have someone say, I'm just not going to buy it for my $15 million house or something. But that might be the exception more than the rule.
So, I mean, what I think we've all learned with all these natural disasters over the year, particularly hurricanes in Florida and on the Gulf Coast, is that some of that stuff is just not insured.
Right.
And flooding, not insured in some cases. Fire generally is insured. Is that kind of the way we should think about it? There's a higher level of fire insurance versus maybe hurricane, flooding, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, fire is going to be more of a covered peril across the board. So like we had the hurricanes in Florida, Hurricane Helene and Milton, like there was a lot of flooding there, and you'd see the economic loss be, you know, many multiples of the insured loss. Here you'll still see that dynamic of the, when you hear a large economic loss number, the insured might be much smaller, but as a percentage, more will be insured.
What did we learn from the horrific Maui fires? I mean, it's not funny, but it was a precursor to this devastation. Did your industry learn something from that?
You know, I'm going to say probably not a ton. You know, the problems in the markets are unique. So like Florida is different from California.
So what's California like?
So in California, and what you're going to see, I'm seeing a lot on social media is, oh my goodness, State Farm was canceling policies like months and weeks before this, things like that. What is happening in Florida, California, is this wildfire risk coupled with regulatory risk. So the home insurers in the state are saying, we're not getting adequate pricing for the risk we're taking. The state is saying, yeah, we're not going to let you basically get adequate pricing. So a lot of the private companies are pulling out.
So who is it, like Florida, where the government is insuring in some way?
Exactly. So there's a FAIR plan in Florida, in California, which the insurers contribute to. And that is kind of this insurer of last resort.
It's a reinsurance package in Sacramento.
It's an insurance package that buys separate reinsurance. So it is basically insurance through the government, partially funded by companies in the state.
Well, I owned a home in Northern California for many years, and it was hard to get insurance for fire, but we were able to. But we then, probably 5 years ago, those insurers pulled out. So we had to go to Lloyd's of London. These are the people that insure like cargo ships going through war zones. That's where we had to go.
So I know, Matt, you were on the phone with Mr. Buffet last night. But the answer is, in the Warren Buffett reinsurance world, you should see Matt Palazzolo in shorts in Hamilton, Bermuda with knee socks.
Oh, yeah. I can
looks
imagine.
Like a piece of work.
Every weekend.
What does this mean for the reinsurers, the Hamilton Bermudas, the Lloyd's of London people?
So this loss, should it get to 8, 9, 10 plus billion, it will impact the reinsurance industry. I'm not going to say it's probably not a major loss for reinsurers, probably not for Buffett either. It will be, I think our takeaway was, this can be a sizable industry loss. Like Hurricane Helene, the best estimate of that was like $11 billion. So, you know,
what do you say about the $50 billion statistic out on social media for people completely unqualified?
So, I had referenced economic versus insured earlier, and I think that's the number you're hearing is economic. So they're including a whole host of things that may not be insured.
May not be insured. Okay. Well, now you heard it. So if you're in California, and I do have a few friends in California, the insurance rates are going to go up. But there's going to be a lot of problems out there. Okay. That's not good. All right. So much for the fires in LA. And, you know, I had other things that I wanted to talk about that because the insurance rates were going to go up. Basically, you know, you take a look at some of the stuff that's going on right now. A lot of businesses are going out of business. Why? You know, when you overexpand your business, you have a problem, and you just didn't listen. Okay? It's kind of crazy that you have big name stores. Like, for example, stories just broke from Macy's to Kohl's. Here's a list of retailers closing stores in 2025. Well, why are they closing? Well, who's spending money? You can barely afford to go out to eat. Inflation is really nailing everybody. And here you have these companies that overexpanded and they didn't pay attention to the way things were going with the economy. They overexpanded and now they have these leases, more than likely, that they can't handle. Here in Ohio, Frisch's restaurants could not pay the rent on the buildings that were built for them, for the restaurants. So they had to close a lot of them. And Frisch's, big boy, was a big chain. And the corporate offices, I believe, were in Cincinnati. So you have that going on, and all of a sudden, they say, well, we didn't pay our rent. Well, you probably paid your shareholders, or stockholders. You probably paid your employees, but on your profit and loss statement, don't you pay your rent? Well, they were several million dollars in debt because they didn't pay their rent, and the people that they had to pay the rent to wanted their money. Something doesn't sound right there. You know, when you run a business and you run a profit and loss statement, you always want to show that you've paid your rent. If you don't own the building, you don't owe the land, then you got to pay for the rent. And that's got to come out of the bottom line. Simple profit and loss, and they failed to do it. They're going to reopen probably under different management, but a lot less stores. And think of all the employees that got laid off. Think of all the food waste because, hey, they had to close down. If they can't use it someplace else, what are they going to do with it? They can donate it to homeless shelters and stuff like that, but that's about it. Well, anyhow, this is what I've got from the financial news at Yahoo Finance. From Macy's to Kohl's, here's a list of retailers that are closing stores in 2025. And, you know, they're talking about Stadium Goods and Macy's and Kohl's. And you just wonder, why are they closing the stores? You know, on January 9th, Kohl's announced closure of 27 underperforming stores by April, as well as the closure of its San Bernardino e-commerce fulfillment center in May. Well, why were stores underperforming? You know, one of the Kohl's that I go to, I won't mention the town, it's close by. They used to be really nice. They used to have really nice clothes. And everything was nice and neat and really looking good. And then all of a sudden, it looks like they just throw things places. It wasn't very well organized, whether it was the management or whether it was just the way that the company said, oh, this is what we'll just do with the stores. And they never kept things neat and tidy and so forth. Now, the last time that I went, which was only about a month ago, things were a little bit better, but it was still not the way it used to be. They used to have really nice clothes there. Croft and Barrow was one of their lines of clothing. And I'll tell you what, it was decent. It really was. But things, it seems like to me, and this is just me personally, things have gone downhill. And the state of California will be the most affected with these closures. According to the report, 10 stores expected to shutter locations in Alabama, Colorado, Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Texas, Utah, and Virginia. They're also on the list. Now, Tom Clingsbury, Kohl's chief executive officer, says, we always take these decisions very seriously. They overexpanded. They didn't research their markets. That's the way I look at it. How about Macy's? On January 9th, Macy's confirmed the list of 66 stores it'll close as part of its bold new chapter strategy. And according to the company, This plan is designed to return the company to sustainable, profitable sales growth, which includes closing approximately 150 stores underproductive, okay, over a three-year period while investing in its 350 go-forward Macy locations through fiscal 2026. Somebody was not a very good site planner, in my estimation, okay? Among the closures include 9 locations in California, 7 in Florida, 8 in New York, 6 in Texas. And stores in other states affected by the closures include Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, New Jersey, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, and Washington. That's not good. It's not good. You know, you look at Prosper. The New Jersey retailer Prosper was officially closed at the top of the year. Manny's. Strange names to this Midwesterner. Stadium Goods. Okay, after 10 years, Stadium Goods announced on January 7th it was closing its New York City storefront. And you've got other stores that are closing. Now, this isn't good, guys. And you know that. And it seems like when you play things up that the economy is fine, we're doing well, and people just aren't spending money, and it's costing more to live, guess what? You're going to have problems. You have to truthfully say, okay, we made a mistake. We overplanned or we underplanned. We put stores in the wrong locations thanks to site developers that didn't know what's going on. And they've invested millions. And now they're not making a profit. And if they don't make a profit, they're not going to hang around. Or if they don't pay their rent, they're not going to be around. See, things are just starting to go crazy right now, and it's 2025. They should have realized this in 2024 or maybe even 2023. Something just isn't quite right. And I think, and this is just me saying personally, I think what's happening is they're going to cause as much commotion for the new administration coming in as they can possibly handle. And it's like payback time. Okay, we lost the election and it's payback time. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, that's the way I kind of look at it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Generally, I think people agree with me for the most part. And something isn't quite right. You've got California suddenly on fire. You had fires in Maui. You have fires in California. You've got other issues going on around the country. All of a sudden, after the election, something doesn't seem right to me. Okay. Wow. Do you have a budget? Do you live by your budget? I know you keep saying, well, you keep harping on budgets. Well, let's take a look at a pie chart that I've got here on the budget. And this occurred in Zero Hedge. And it's the average U.S. household budget in one chart. And this is Visual Capitalists. Pallavi Rao did this one. You have $328 a month eating out, $513 in health care, entertainment, $303. Personal pension insurance, $796, $871 in savings, $1,161 in taxes, $790 in miscellaneous spending, $504 in groceries, $2,120 in housing, and $1,098 in transportation. And that's an average monthly budget. The total expenditures was $8,484. Now, I don't know about you. I do not make $8,484. I'm retired. Like a lot of people my age, we don't spend that much money. And if I take a look at what I do, I wouldn't be paying $513 on health care a month. Luckily, I've got a good health care plan, and I'm only paying, believe it or not, a little over $200 a month. Entertainment? I don't do entertainment other than getting on Spectrum, which I loathe, but that's about the only thing I can get around here. And so you get to watch that, and you get the internet. Now that is almost $300, if you want to call that entertainment. Pension and insurance, it's already taken out. I don't have to worry about that. And transportation, I don't drive all that much. You know, if I want to drive up to the University of Findlay, that's not going to cost me that much for that. It will cost me that much for dinner. It'll cost. But driving there, Cincinnati, going to Columbus, going to Indianapolis, and just local, I don't spend over probably $400 in transportation. And I don't take long trips. There's no need to. And I can't go to Florida because basically Florida is a mess where I like to go. So I have to wait a couple years for them to clean everything up before I consider going back down. So I put money into savings. I put money into CDs, certificates of deposits. Then you have taxes. And boy, are we paying taxes? You know, I put something on our Facebook page about taxes and all the different taxes we have to pay. I think there's a total of 90-some taxes that you're going to pay in a lifetime. You've got sales tax. You've got property tax. You've got income tax, gasoline tax, and on and on and on and on. We used to have death taxes. I would almost say for death taxes, come out and you can visit my new address. I think it's Section K in the cemetery. See if they can collect on that. Then you have miscellaneous spending, $790. If I stop going to Amazon or other places, yeah, I can reduce that quite a bit. And groceries, there's no way I pay $504 a month for groceries. It's probably about $200 a month. So I don't spend that much. You know, and the data here came from the Motley Fool and the annual budget figures of 2023 converted into monthly spending. Okay, so what do the people spend their money on? Here's part of the chart. You take a look at taxes, $1,161. Transportation, $1,098 is monthly. Annual is about, $13,174. Okay. Healthcare, they're paying $6,159 a year. Groceries, $6,053 a year. And then eating out is about $3,933 a year. And then you take a look at apparel and services. Now you're talking about $2,041 a year. Education. Well, education monthly is more than $138 because you've got your education school tax. Okay, and they get you on that. At least here they do. And you've got personal care, $79. Alcohol, I don't drink, so I save $53. Big deal. I don't smoke. I save $31. Reading, most of my reading is done online. I do a lot of research online. So they're saying the average income pre-tax is about $8,484. Okay. I don't know about that. And then, of course, the annual was $101,805. I don't even come close to that. Their numbers have to be off. But I'll tell you what, you know, do you have a budget? You know, you want to put down all your income and put that at the top. Then the next line down, then under that, you want to subtract out all of your costs. You know, what's it going to cost you for transportation, rent, food, and so forth? You subtract that for what you're taking in, and hopefully you have a plus figure at the bottom saying that, okay, technically you made a profit. Now, how much of that are you going to put into savings? You want to be able to put that in. A lot of things to consider there to come out with a budget. And like I've always said, this is my golden rule. And if you follow this, it'll help you out quite a bit. Pay down your debt. And watch the interest that you're paying on. If you got big interest items and big price items, get them paid down as quickly as possible. Okay, pay down your debt. Put some money aside. You're going to have a rainy day fund. That rainy day fund you're going to have to use for car repairs, maybe new tires, maybe an alternator. Okay. Maybe an exhaust system. You never know. So you got to put some money aside. Maybe there's an emergency house repair that you have to have. And I'm not going to tell you the different percentages. You probably ought to be saving about a quarter of your income. Okay. So whatever you have at the bottom, I mean, you should have a minimum of 20% saved. 25% is even better. Then where do you put it? Hey, you put it in banks and credit unions where you can get decent interest. Okay? Credit union. Glenn Beck swears by credit unions. And yeah, a lot of them are pretty good. But you diversify your money. You put it in different banks and make sure the banks that you put it in are good banks. Big banks are not necessarily good banks because a lot of them have hedge funds and derivatives that are just not right. Okay, so you've pay down your debt. You put some money aside. You want to buy some long-term food, especially right now with what could go on with possible bank closures, because a lot of banks, I think there's about 61 banks that are in trouble. So you want to monitor your banks weekly, at the minimum monthly, but monitor the banks and see how your bank is doing. Then you want to take your money and put it into long-term food, canned foods, freeze-dried foods, things that are long-term. You know, canned goods, I've been told, can last a minimum of 5 years past their expiration date. So you could probably go more than that. I mean, one guy that I know that has a YouTube channel says, well, canned goods can last indefinitely as long as they don't bulge or leak. So make sure your cans are in good shape, okay? Make sure you have your medications. If you have to have medications, like a lot of people do, you make sure you have adequate medications. Make sure you have plenty of aspirin, okay? Make sure that you have your medications. Make sure you got plenty of Band-Aids and a good first aid kit. Make sure that that's all taken care of, okay? So that's one thing. So you want to be able to do that. Now, I'll tell you what. There's another thing that we can talk about briefly, and I will post it on the website. And it's going to be 50 ways to save money. And I'll just bring that one up, And that'll about do it for the year, I think, or not for the year, for the week, as long as I don't have any more problems sneaking in. Okay, how to save money in 2025. And I'll put this one on the website right after the show. 50 tips to grow your wealth. Okay. And this was done by Ivana Pino, and it was a senior writer. Okay. And Yahoo Finance. All right. 50 ways or 50 tips to grow your wealth. And I won't go through all of them, but make a list before you shop. And if you're going to go shopping, stick to that list. You know, I usually do a mental list to test my memory. And then when I get home, I'll say, oh, gee, I forgot one item out of maybe 20 or 30. Had I written it down, I would have covered it. But I like to play mental games on that one. Generally, I stick to what I need. Okay. Shop generic. Name brand products tend to come at higher prices. So you want to look at generic. Buy in bulk if you can buy it. If you can store in bulk, that's a lot of the problems. You have a small house, you can't store in bulk. Let's face it. Okay. Consider rewards credit cards. You know, if you use certain credit cards, they give you so much of a reward. I know I get a reward when I go to Sam's Club and I use their card. And if I use it for anything, I get a payback at the end of the year. Last year, I got $400 back. It was unexpected, but I got it back. Okay. Save money on your rent. You know, you want to take a look at the rent. I mean, look at it. New York and Massachusetts, really high. Same thing in California. Do you want to live in those areas? I don't know. Sign a longer lease. Negotiate with your landlord. Get a roommate to cut costs. Consider a new location. How to save money on your mortgage. You know, buy down your mortgage rate. Make extra payments each year. If you can pay extra each month, that's fine. Refinance your mortgage. Okay. And the list goes on and on and on. There'll be 50 ways. How to save money on insurance. How to save money on college expenses. You know, going to an expensive school for prestige, you may not get the education that you would get in a community college. And basically where I live, high school students in their junior and senior year can go to the state college that is here in town, take classes, and they split their classes up. They spend half a day in the high school or even the joint vocational school. And the other half of the day, they're taking classes at the state community college. Well, by the end of their senior year in high school, they've already finished their college freshman year. And when they go to an accredited college, they're actually a sophomore. I know, I've had a couple of people that have done that. And they've saved a lot of money that way. And they also go to branch campuses. And the branch campuses are cheaper than going on main campus and living there, okay? Even though they do commute. So you can save money there. Save your money on air travel, okay? The big thing on air travel, and I'll tell you this now, I had a friend of mine that went down to Florida to surprise her parents. And she came back with the flu. Yeah. Flying is not like the way it used to be because people get on a plane and the plane doesn't have all that much fresh air. They do get some, but not that much. It's recirculated, refiltered. But does it take out the bacteria? Okay, any viruses in the air? I don't think so. And so they're in this plane with maybe 100 passengers or more, and they're going to be exposed to a lot more things. Sometimes it's better to drive to your location. If you have to fly, you have to fly. And I know if I would be flying, I would be taking a little bit of ivermectin with me, once taking one pill down and one pill back. Because you're going to be exposed to a lot of different things. It's up to you to find out where to get the ivermectin because you cannot buy it. U.S. doctors will not prescribe it. You have to go overseas. I don't travel. I just have a way of ordering it. Ivermectin, okay? It works. Anytime I'm around a big crowd, I always take one ivermectin pill. And if I'm going to be in a really closed-in area with a lot of people, I'll take one before I go and one when I get back. I haven't been sick yet, okay? There are ways to save on kid expenses, how to save money on taxes, on retirement, health savings accounts, and so forth. There's a lot of things there I will put on the website, okay? I will definitely do that. Well, it's 7:58, guys. Sorry for the shortened show. I wish that we could do more. But for somehow, it signed in twice. I only signed in once, and I was already set and coming on. I had some weird things happen. Sorry about all that. We'll get those things ironed out. And next Wednesday, we'll be doing not only... Well, next Sunday, we'll be doing Money and Change for sure, but next Wednesday, it's going to be my world. And we'll probably talk about the California fires, okay, a little bit. And I'm going to have some more comedy on. I had some good comedy this last time. We couldn't get on the air. We had problems. So hopefully we get those ironed out. Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I've got. And, we're going to have to skedaddle out of here. And I thought I had exit music, but I don't see it. Well, anyhow, we will get to that if I can ever get to it. It's not showing. Well, anyhow, I had my intro music. I can't show that. Well, with that, hey, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week. And hopefully we get all the bugs ironed out. Okay, have a good week. Watch your money. Watch the news. Watch your banks. Okay, with that, have a good one. We'll see you next Sunday on Money and Change and this Wednesday on My World. See ya.